Welcome to the first podcast in my series about managing depression and anxiety. Today I'll discuss the role of diet because we are what we eat. The information offered in this podcast is not intended as a substitute for medical advice, so please check with your medical practitioner before making any radical changes. My name is Angela Moore and I'm a somatic therapist, which means that I work with the mind-body connection in relation to depression, anxiety, grief, and trauma. The body knows. It knows, even when our minds tell us otherwise, that there is something wrong, and will sometimes mask our real issues with something more manageable, like a sore back or an upset tummy. Even when we're aware of our depression and anxiety, the body will also be impacted, because we are whole beings, not a mind in a body, but a mind-body, a whole entity. So in treating a client, it's necessary to examine all aspects of their life in order to understand what is really happening and to adopt a whole life approach to treatment. Over the years, I've worked with many clients who suffer from varying levels of depression and anxiety, using a variety of techniques to manage symptoms and improve quality of life. These have met with good success, due in no small part to the courage and determination of my clients to avail themselves of every opportunity to work on the issues underlying their pain. I hope that this series will contribute in some small way to your foundation of self-care, forming part of an overall management program to help you overcome the challenges of depression and anxiety. The methods I use are based on a therapeutic model called the Triad of Health, which states that balance within the human organism, and therefore our well-being, is based on three factors: mental, structural, and chemical. If even one of these is out of balance, it will affect the others. For example, if we're very stressed, at a structural level, we're far more likely to suffer back or neck injuries. Conversely, physical injury, including accidents and surgery, can affect our hormone balance and result in other physical complications in addition to depression and anxiety. Today, through talking about the role of diet, I'll touch on the chemical perspective because it's enormously important for both physical health and mental well-being, and mainstream science has only recently discovered just how vital it is for the healthy functioning of the mind. Until recently, the chemical factor was mostly confined in mainstream medicine to prescribing suitable drugs to treat depression and anxiety. Now, these have an important role to play, especially in acute cases, and should always be evaluated as part of a treatment program. However, we're now hearing more about the role of nutrition in the management of mental health. We now know that the human gut is lined with more than 100 million nerve cells. The scientific community is saying that it's practically a brain in itself, and that it has a neural circuit that allows it to transmit signals directly to the brain in seconds. So we now view the brain as far more extensive than originally thought. Scientists call it the brain in the gut, and our view of the gut and its role in well-being has changed forever. A lot is being said these days about gut biome, that complex community of microorganisms living in the digestive tract. We already knew that imbalance in this area could lead to conditions such as candidiasis, a fungal infection, a very unpleasant condition which affects the health in many ways, including the mental state. Recent studies are now able to tell us how and why this occurs, that the balance of gut biome has a profound effect on mood and mental state, thanks to our gut neurons. It stands to reason that if the balance of good microorganisms is disturbed and other bacteria are able to flourish, there will be consequences for our mental state through the message our gut neurons send to our brain and affect our brain chemistry itself. You've probably heard of serotonin, the chemical which plays a role in sleep and depression, appetite and mood. Scientists have found that 90% of it is produced in the gut, depending on the balance of gut biota. So there are sound reasons why diet has such important implications for our state of mind. Add to this the other neurotransmitters and their roles in mood balance and stress response, and we can see the enormous importance of the gut in maintaining overall health and well-being. We know this intuitively. Our language is full of references about it. We talk about our gut feel. We make jokes about being in a food coma when we've eaten too much. We talk about kids behaving as though they've been drinking too much red cordial or having a sugar rush. We talk about carbs as comfort food. And we're learning that junk food is addictive and that it's specifically designed to be that way, with no regard for the emotional slump that follows. So we can now begin to see how diet relates to depression and anxiety, two issues which often present hand in hand and make life a misery. If not a causative factor, incorrect diet is certainly a major contributor to the symptoms. I can't claim to be a specialist in the field of nutritional psychology, but this information is readily available in the best medical literature. What I can do is provide my own perspective, even if it only offers anecdotal evidence based on my own tests and observations. But I'm offering these now because I've found that they achieve results and accord with the vast body of medical knowledge in the field of nutritional psychology. Having said that, you should always check with your own medical practitioner before making radical changes in any area of your life. It's also essential to be aware of possible food intolerances or allergies, which could complicate any dietary modifications you intend to make. I must emphasize that there are no magic fixes. In spite of what some of the self-help literature and diet gurus suggest, it's so easy to be beguiled by the shiny, smiling faces on book covers and the images of people skipping in the sunshine with mouthfuls of green kale. Nobody is like that all the time. And understanding that life has its challenges, tragedies, and trauma is an important reality check. But the good news is that this doesn't take away from the fact that we can alleviate the symptoms and regain the ability to experience joy and peace of mind. The secret is to have realistic expectations, manage our issues, and achieve the best quality of life our circumstances permit. First and foremost, we need a balanced diet, free from the fads and the hype of the health food and weight loss industries. There's no such thing as a superfood, although some foods are better for you than others. But it's not a case of more is better. It's about balance. There's no such thing as a detoxing program. Your body takes care of that by itself. A sensible, balanced diet, which includes a wide variety of foods and the occasional treat, will do a lot to keep you healthy in body and mind without recourse to the money-making hype so prevalent in the media. So how do we help our digestive systems to function at optimal level? When it comes to the gut biome, there is no substitute for foods you prepare yourself so that you know what they contain. Many of us are time poor, and it's so much easier to grab something from the supermarket shelf or the local takeaway. But there are ways of preparing food which take little time and yield excellent results. A slow cooker is a great time saver, providing a nourishing meal at the end of the day when you often feel too tired to be bothered to cook. For anyone who has a time in the day when the symptoms are less troublesome, this is when you pile ingredients into the cooker and let it do its work. At the other end of the spectrum, wok cooking provides a nutritious meal in minutes, with only the preparation of ingredients taking a bit of time. And this can be done when convenient and the ingredients refrigerated till needed. Your GP or dietitian can help when it comes to tailoring a food regime for anyone with complicated dietary requirements. So I'm going to concentrate on a more general perspective, highlighting the foods that I have found will nourish the gut and help to reduce the effects of depression and anxiety. Of course, these are not sufficient by themselves, but should be included as an important part of a general management strategy. In discussing these foods, I can also provide you with some basic recipes if you care to check out my website at angelamoretherapist.com. And I'm happy to answer questions and provide further details if you would like. It's no secret that our Western diet is often relatively low in fiber, prebiotics, and probiotics, the chemicals which feed and support the gut. Starting with breakfast, let's look at ways of improving the situation. When it comes to cereals, forget most of the proprietary brands. There are reasons they're so tasty, and none of those reasons will help your brain health. For cold cereal, make your own muesli or buy from a reputable whole foods store and avoid the added sugar and salt found in many of the packets on supermarket shelves. You can buy puffed millet, puffed brown rice, and a host of other interesting cereal components, and it's quite easy to make a tasty granola, for which I have a recipe. When it comes to hot cereal, my own preference is for a combination of steel-cut and rolled oats, cooked down in water with a pinch of salt, and finished with an assortment of interesting additions. The steel-cut oats are recommended because they're low GI and they'll sustain you for longer. Once again, the recipe is available on my website and is very easy and quick to make. When it comes to toast, stick with good quality multigrain bread. It's worth paying a bit extra to get something nutritious which doesn't contain all the additives you find in many brands. And it's far more sustaining, meaning you won't feel the need to snack 5 minutes later. If you're gluten intolerant, there are now terrific options which also serve the same purpose. Add a poached egg and some of the much maligned smashed avocado, and it's a great way to start the day. And if you want something sweet to finish, use a sugar-free jam you can make yourself or con a kind friend into making for you. Once again, there's a recipe on my website. For lunch and dinner, salads should always play a part. Make them as interesting as possible, with lots of ingredients which you vary from one day to another. The basic green salad is transformed when you add grilled red capsicum, bell peppers, charred eggplant, good quality feta cheese, or if you're vegan, the non-dairy cheese of your choice, roasted root vegetables, avocado, fruit in season like pears and kiwi fruit, homemade sauerkraut, walnuts, dried apricots, goji berries, tinned red salmon or grilled chicken, quinoa or gluten-free pasta. You're only limited by your imagination. I toss my salad with a very easy homemade vinaigrette, but you can add the dressing of your choice, provided it's low in sugar. At least twice a week, I recommend including pulses in your diet. Red kidney beans, black turtle beans, which incidentally are absolutely delicious, bolotti beans, lentils, and any other of the host of legumes available at good whole food stores. You can save a lot of money buying the dried variety, but if you absolutely have to buy cans, you'll find the selection is relatively limited. And please make sure you buy BPA-free cans. It's also worth remembering that the sodium content is much, much higher in canned beans, as it is with most canned foods. If you're not vegetarian, eat meat sparingly, maybe twice a week, and include fish. The reduced quantity means you can probably afford free-range organic, which is better for the animals, the planet, and for us. It's also important to add fermented foods, because these will encourage the growth of healthy gut bacteria, especially in those cases where the gut biome has been out of balance for a lengthy period. A word of caution here. Food companies are hopping on the fermented food bandwagon, and many contain little or no active ingredients, or also contain other less desirable additives. Where possible, make your own, or buy from a reputable outlet. Kombucha, kefir, sauerkraut, yogurt. All of these are beneficial and quite easy to make, but the key is moderation. When it comes to food, more isn't necessarily better. In fact, all changes in diet should be phased in gradually to avoid stomach upsets and diarrhea, not to mention the socially embarrassing effects of flatulence. Life is tough enough. So much for what we should include. Now, what should we avoid? Above all, eliminate sugar from your diet as much as possible. In fact, eliminate as many empty carbs as you can, things like pastry, cake, and biscuits, and soft drinks in particular. It doesn't mean you can't have these at all, but opt for sugar-free and whole grain when you can. And avoid diet foods that contain things like aspartame, because they're poison. Drink water and tea and coffee and a bit of wine. And when it comes to treat foods, make your own so you're not ingesting all kinds of unhealthy fats, sugars, and preservatives. It sounds like hard work, but the sense of achievement you'll get for doing something positive for your own well-being and the good effects will spur you on, especially when those good effects begin to show. Sugar is the absolute enemy for anyone with depression. It has an inflammatory effect on the body. It contributes to mood swings by upsetting the release of insulin in susceptible people, and it promotes cravings. It's highly addictive and difficult to give up, but after the first few days of feeling much worse, you will feel much better. It's a sad fact of life that the cure can feel worse than the problem in the early stages, but this is a sure sign that the change was necessary. Much as drug withdrawal is uncomfortable for the recovering addict. Drinking plenty of water will help to flush the system, as will exercise, and I'll talk about these in a future podcast. But for now, let's get back to what we eat. So how do you go about making these dietary changes? All these foods sound wonderful, but what if you're on a restricted income? The ingredients I mention are all fresh and actually cost much less than canned or takeaway foods. For a few dollars, you can make a nourishing meal with some left over for the next day. But what if your depression and anxiety are causing a lack of motivation and you feel so tired that you can't be bothered? Treating these conditions always requires support. Families can play a big part in helping with shopping and food preparation, but in offering emotional support, they need to be sensitive to the mood swings which often occur. And we need to remember that we often don't take the advice of our nearest and dearest. It's not their role to become the food police, but to help us to make the best decisions through encouragement and the provision of a good diet. Perhaps you live alone and you're thrown on your own resources. Hopefully you have friends who will support you, but regardless of your domestic and social situations, this is where the support of a doctor and a therapist is invaluable. You can debrief as much as you need to, discuss your successes and your setbacks, and feel encouraged and validated for your efforts. Your GP can also offer chemical support if it's required, sometimes in the short term, sometimes for longer duration, depending on the individual case. The aim is to reduce the symptoms so that you can function and take care of your mental and physical health needs, which in turn provide the basis for a happier life. A somatic therapist can help you to work through the issues underlying your depression and anxiety and determine where you hold your stress within your body. By treating the whole person and working towards healthy balance in all areas, we can help you to make necessary life changes, supporting you through the difficulties of dietary modification and other adjustments. Together, we can devise coping mechanisms for dealing with adversity and find renewed strength to tackle daily life. Diet is a part of this holistic treatment and an incredibly important one. As we've heard in today's podcast, it has the power to change the brain and in so doing, change our lives. We are indeed what we eat.